God speaks to you through Numbers 22, verses 9 through 20. Again, we're in a large mini-series, you might say, about Balaam. King Balak seeks to hire the prophet Balaam. Not a prophet of God like other prophets, but nonetheless, God really does speak to him and guides, tells him what he should do and what he may not do. We know from a few weeks ago, we learned that Balaam is not good. We learned many New Testament scriptures speak poorly of him. So we know that he's not really a good prophet, though he is speaking, God is speaking through him as he will his donkey. We are back to the text. We're going to need many weeks to get through together. And I think what I'm going to do, because of vacations coming up, my own and others through August, I'm going to wait till September to come back to this series that we can all be together and continue to work through it together. But I did want to pick up where I had almost preached recently, verses 9 through 20. Still a little bit of kind of warming us up for the big part of the story, but an important part of the story nonetheless. Hear now the word of God, Numbers 22, verses 9 through 20. And God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" And Balaam said unto God, "Balak the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out." And God said unto Balaam, "Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, "Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me to leave to go with you." And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, "Balaam refuseth to come with us." And Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, "Thus said Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me. For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, "If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." Amen. Well, when we started this mini-series, if you will, with the beginning of the chapter 2 weeks ago, the message for you was expect opposition to your growth. Expect opposition to your growth. Israel had started to advance more quickly to the promised land. They're on the cusps of it now in the plains of Moab. And they've defeated Zion. They've defeated Og, these mighty kingdoms. And it looks good. And now we have this long series where King Balak will try to curse them. He's going to really try hard. He's going to try to destroy them. So the message was expect opposition to your growth. And now what you're going to see over three long chapters is constantly, continually, increasingly expected. Just expect it all the time. Expect that the world will curse you. The enemies of God seek to curse his people. The enemies of God seek to destroy his people always. And though that is the case always, we will see that God preserves his people. Why? Because he has blessed them. And whom God has blessed, they cannot be cursed. Maybe as Christians, you might sometimes feel in your lives, In your family, you might feel, surely we are cursed. Nothing's going right. Every time we think we've gotten through one thing, another thing happens. Many times you might feel you are being cursed by people. Maybe as a church you feel sometimes you are surely being cursed and you cannot continue. Well, the message is, on the contrary, whatever the world is trying to do to you, church of Christ, house of God, the message for you is, church, you can't be cursed. You can't be cursed. God has blessed you. You can't be cursed. This does not mean that God will not allow you to go through difficulties, but what you have to trust is whatever it is, it's for your good. You can't be cursed. That being said, the world will constantly curse you. It is not your friend, and it won't let up. The world will just keep coming after you, constantly trying to curse you, like flies, like mosquitoes. They just really will never leave you alone. You swat, you think you get a break, then yeah, they come back. They keep coming back, they keep buzzing around you. That's what we see is happening here. Balaam waits for a door to open so that he can curse Israel. Verse 13. He rises up in the morning. He said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land. The Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. And yet, notice how he's kind of trying to leave the door open. He keeps coming back. He wants this to happen. He wants to have an opportunity to get rich and come and curse them. So notice in verse 13, he only mentions that he's forbidden to go. He does not mention that God said he was forbidden to curse. God said, you may not curse. He only says, I can't go. He's trying to leave that door open. He keeps kind of wanting to fly back to this possibility of somehow cursing Israel. Verses 18 through 19. Well, let me go talk to God. They pursue him again, even though he sent them away. They come back. Let me go talk to God. I can't say anything God doesn't want me to say, but let me go back and see what he might say, what he might let me do. But he's going back to get an answer that he has already been given in verse 12. You may not go, you must not curse. Maybe if I go again, maybe he'll change his mind. He allows him this time to go, but he may not curse. But he's hoping maybe God will still give him an opportunity. Verse 14, notice when the messengers go back, they mention that Balaam refuses to come, but they don't mention that God forbade him to come. They're all kind of leaving the door open. So then in verses 15 to 17, Balak says, well, let's try again. Let's not give up on this. Let's try again to curse Israel. And he sends ambassadors back. Now he increases the pressure. He increases the temptation. He offers more honor and more riches. Come on, come on. You can do this. Please come and curse Israel for us. There's this building fever to curse Israel. It starts with verses 6 and 11. And then now in our text today, verses 14, 12, and 17. That's really the focus here. We want to curse God's people. We want to curse the church. And we're just not going to accept no for an answer. And Balaam doesn't really want that answer from God. Here's what you need to see from this, first of all. The world is not neutral to you. The world is not neutral to you. It wants to hurt you. It wants to curse you. It wants to run your lives. It wants to change you and make them like you or destroy you. But it's not neutral. Like you read in Genesis 19 this morning, it says, who are you to judge us? And it wants to press upon you and break into your house. The world is not neutral to you. It wants to curse you. It's threatened by you, and it won't stop feeling threatened, so it'll always want to curse you. Jesus said, "Because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." John 15. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub," the devil, "how much more shall they call them of his household?" Jesus warns us of this. The world is going to hate you because it hates me. The world is going to treat you like you're the devil because that's the way it sees me. That's what it says my works are doing of healing is actually of the devil. Here's what you need to be prepared for. Until heaven, you will always be pursued. On your pilgrimage to the promised land, you will always be pursued from behind and from every side, and there will be efforts to make roadblocks in your way, trying to curse you, to cut you off, to set you back, to cut you down. Fine, if they can trick you to think you're friends and it's all comfortable and cozy, fine, they'll do it that way. But they're looking to curse you. You have an adversary. You have an accuser seeking to get God himself to curse you if they could. Trying to hurt you. Trying to curse you. This is the reality of your Christian experience. But fear not, for God has covenantally blessed you already. And that trumps everything, and that overrules everything. The world will constantly curse you. But fear not, for God has covenantally blessed you. No matter how many times that cloud follows you, no matter how many times that dark, gloomy cloud wants to rain on your head, God will break through it with sunshine. Again and again, God will break through it with sunshine. Verse 9, God came unto Balaam and said, "What men are these with thee?" What you need to recognize here is God is not surprised. He isn't really needing an answer to this question. It's a reproof. It's a correction of Balaam. He doesn't approve of this. While he's going to allow this because of his hard heart and how he's going to show his glory in his people, he is not sanctioning what Balaam wants to do by talking to them. It's a reproof. You shouldn't be talking to them. It's just like in Genesis 3, verse 11. God says, "Adam and Eve, where are you?" And then verse 11, "Who told you you were naked? What's going on? Where are you? Why are you hiding?" God knew the answer. He's asking the question to draw it out of them. It's a reproof. It's a correction. It's a rebuke. So he's already rebuking Balaam for wanting to curse the people. He just keeps making it clear, this is bad. This is not good. Then we see in verse 20, important part of the text. God came unto Balaam at night again and said unto him, "If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do." All right, I'm going to let you go with them. But you are not going to be able to do what they want you to do. You are not going to be able to curse my people. It's not going to happen. I won't allow you to do it. God will only speak blessings through Balaam these next three chapters. He's going to keep going back trying to curse, hoping there's a way to make it happen, and God will only speak blessings. Look at verse 12. "And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them, thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed." That's what's really important. God will not tolerate the cursing of his church. He's the only one truly who can bless or curse. Now, granted, he holds out in Deuteronomy before his church, "Choose blessing or curse this day," but it's going to be based on their behavior before them. And the covenant, as they go into the promised land, is a covenant people. But it can only come from them, from God. And even though they often bring a curse upon themselves, God keeps them going. God maintains the church. As we saw in the study with R.C. Sproul today, God maintains the one family, the Davidic line, according to the promise. Even though there's just the one southern kingdom, unlike the northern kingdom with different families ruling, David's family rules all the way until Jesus Christ, the son of David, will sit on his throne because of the Davidic covenant, simply because God promised, not because of David or Solomon or anyone else deserved it. So even though God will allow things to come on his people, he still blesses them ultimately. He still won't let it happen. Think about this, Shimei. Shimei is following David as he and his family is running away, and Shimei is following after and throwing rocks at King David and cursing him. And yet, David goes back and his kingdom is not lost. God will not allow his church to be cursed. He has always blessed his church. He has pronounced an irrevocable blessing upon his church. That blessing is there upon his people, and thus there is no room ultimately for a curse from the world. And we want to turn to Genesis chapter 12 to remember where this is coming from. Why can't Balaam curse his people, God's people? Because God has put a blessing upon them. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 12. This is the Abrahamic covenant, and it is what really follows through in all the other covenants, just really restatements and expressions of them through David, through Noah, through others. Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, hear the word of God. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. We know this is being fulfilled through Jesus Christ as he advances his church throughout the world. All nations of the earth will be blessed through the seed of Abraham and David, the Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, the church is blessed because the church is going to be a blessing to the world, bringing the gospel to all the world. God will not allow his church to be destroyed because she is to be the means of blessing to the entire world. But notice also, not only does God say, I will bless you, and those who bless you will be blessed. He also says, I'll curse those who curse you. Now, isn't that a scary thing for Balaam and Balak? They intend to destroy the church with a curse, but God has already said, whoever curses you, I will curse. That's why this can't happen. And so, beloved, Satan will be thrown into the lake of fire. Though he seeks to curse you, though he seeks to accuse you, he will be thrown into the lake of fire. And so will his demons, and so will all his disciples. But Jesus promises, in contrast to you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against her. It's really the story of all of Scripture. Matthew 16, verse 18. It's similar, remember, in Revelation 12. What's the image there of the battle going on? Satan the dragon is trying to eat the Christ child coming out of the woman or the church. He can't do it. He loses. He and his angels are cast down. And so now what is he doing on earth? He's trying to eat you. He's trying to eat the children of the church. And he can't do it. He can't win. God will always protect his church. He will allow them to experience persecution, but never to be cursed. Therefore, Paul says, Romans 8, verses 38 and 39, I am persuaded that neither principalities, and that's talking about Satan, demons, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You may feel cursed, but you're never cursed. You may often have these experiences and difficulties that makes you think, I must be cursed. You ever say that to yourself? I must be cursed. How can this now be happening? But you're not cursed. God is working all things for your good, of you who love him. I want to remind you of the sermon for the opening of the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes. Blessed are, blessed are. But the irony there was, these things sound like curses. The world says you're cursed if these things are true. And the message for you there was, cursed Christians, according to the world cursing you, actually you are blessed. Cursed Christians, you are blessed. And you need to remember that, because you're going to be struggling not to believe that you are cursed. You have to trust that you are blessed by God. Not because of what you are in yourselves or what you do, because he's faithful to his covenant. He's simply faithful to his covenant people. You see, while you have an adversary and an accuser constantly trying to hurt and curse you, you also have a counselor in the Holy Spirit, and you have an advocate in the Lord Jesus Christ constantly helping and blessing you. And when you sometimes think you might have brought curses down on your own head, you think that maybe there is no opportunity further, you remember you have a counselor, you have an advocate, and because God is faithful to his covenant, you are not cursed. There are new mercies every morning. Joy cometh in the morning, for great is his faithfulness to you because of the blood of the everlasting covenant. God is faithful to his wife, his church. He will never leave you, beloved. He will never forsake you. He is a faithful husband, and he keeps his word. He has already blessed you. Therefore, there is no place for his cursing you. There is a place for discipline. There is no place for cursing. There is a place for correction. There's no place for condemnation. You can never be cursed. But do you feel like it again? Do you feel like it sometimes? Do you feel like everything you touch turns to dust? Do you feel like no matter how hard you try, you blow it? Yes, you do. But you're not cursed. Because everything Christ touches turns to gold. And he has touched you. Satan will try to convince you that you are cursed. Because if you are cursed, give up. If you are cursed by God, why try any further? Satan will try to speak with his forked tongue to you and say, look at you. Look all around you. You are cursed. You are done for. You are hopeless. But listen to what God says. Thus saith the Lord, church, you can't be cursed. This is what you will see all through this story that is really long to emphasize the point by an enormous amount of repetition. No matter what they do, no matter how hard they try, how much money they spend, how much effort they make, you can't be cursed. I don't know about you, I need to be reminded of that. So God will remind you for many chapters now. Church, you can't be cursed. God has eternally blessed you to make you a blessing to the world. You can't be cursed. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we confess we think we're cursed very often because of the difficult providences you allow, but we can't be cursed. We rejoice in the perseverance of the saints. We praise you that we cannot lose our salvation. We praise you that you tell the smallest, most suffering churches in Revelation, you will keep the doors open. We praise you, Almighty God, wherever there are two or three gathered in your name, there you will be in the midst of us. We praise you, O Lord, that if there are just a few, you will save us and protect us. O Lord God, you have blessed us through the Abrahamic covenant, and you've blessed us to be a blessing that we would see others come into the family of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ, sharing his same like precious faith. O Lord, we thank you for your blessings. And we say, as Psalm 103 says, bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord. Bless his holy name. Forget not all his benefits. Why? Because you have blessed us. You have even given this special Aaronic blessing to us in the book of Numbers for your church to remind us always that through the Lord Jesus Christ, our advocate, by the work of our Holy Spirit, our comforter, our counselor, and because God loved us, O Father, you sent your Son into the world to save us, to make us your people who are not a people. Satan cannot undo what you have done. Satan cannot change what you have done on the cross when you said it is finished. You have loved us from the foundation of the world. You have sent your Son to be a blessing to us. So, Lord, let us receive your blessing and glorify your name. Let us receive your blessing and be blessed. Let us not call down curses upon our head, as it were. Let us look with our eyes unto heaven and receive your blessing. Let us open our mouths wide that they would be filled. We pray not because of anything we've done, because of your mercy, because of your covenant. We praise you, God, that you are a God that keepeth covenant. You are a God that keepeth mercy for your own name's sake. Oh, hallelujah, we praise you, Lord. We praise you for your mercy. Oh, Lord, if it was left to us, we surely would be cursed. If not for your shielding us, for you are our shield, we would be cursed by the world. We would be damned by Satan. If not for your mercy, we would even experience your wrath and your curse due to us for sin, as we will study tonight in the catechism. That is the wages due to us for our sin. So Satan will try to remind us because of our sins, because we are still waiting for our resurrected bodies, our sins that easily beset us. We feel cursed, Lord. We fear your curse. Thank you for showing us, for these people did not deserve your blessing. Thank you for showing us we can't be cursed. The world cannot curse us. Satan cannot curse us, and you will not curse us, for you have eternally blessed us. You show this to us in the benediction. You show this to us in the Lord's Supper. Lord, let us not walk around as people who are cursed. Let us walk around as people who are blessed. This will change our ways. This will bless our days. Thank you for speaking truth to us. Let us hear your word and block out the voice of Satan. Let us indeed be your sheep and hear your voice, O great shepherd of the sheep. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, before we receive the blessing of God, the triune blessing and the benediction from the book of Numbers, let us bless his name once more, singing Psalm 117, page 259. Page 259, Psalm 117. Please stand and bless the Lord with me now.
Da, 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 da. Oh, give ye praise unto the Lord, all nations that be. Likewise, ye people, all accord his name to magnify. For great to us word ever are his loving kindnesses. forevermore. The Lord, oh, do ye bless.
It is God's blessing that you have just blessed him. Now receive his triune blessing from the book of Numbers, to be giving through his ministers, through all ages of the church, coming to you through your high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.